Do today is on Monday of this week was Veterans Day, and I don't think we've recognized our veterans and let them know that we appreciate them. So all the veterans, would you please stand wherever you are in this building, and let's let them know how much we appreciate them, shall we? Thank you, gentlemen. And now I want you to know that I've been under battle working on this sermon. This has been a tough one to do. I decided to call friends of mine and talk to them about Proverbs chapter 9. I think I probably called 20 pastor friends. Not a one of them has ever preached on Proverbs chapter 9. Not a one. I went to the internet and found nothing on Proverbs chapter 9. So it seems to me the first thing that we need to do is take a look at what the Scripture has to say. And I'm going to begin reading where Bob left off last week with chapter 8 and then go into chapter 9. And I'm going to be reading from the Message in contemporary language. It might help us a little bit to see just what's being said to us in this whole series that we're doing on the book of Proverbs, particularly now as we get ready to move towards chapter 10, which is really exciting. And don't miss next week. Listen to what it says. Do you hear Lady Wisdom calling? Can you hear Madam Insight raising her voice? She's taken her stand at First and Main at the busiest intersection, right in the city square where the traffic is thickest, and she shouts, "You! Hey, I'm talking to you! Listen, you idiots! Learn good sense, you blockheads. Shape up. Don't miss a word of this. I'm telling you how to live. Come down here and see how to live." And another person speaks up later on and says, "Hey, I'm Lady Wisdom, and I live next to sanity, knowledge, and discretion. Just down the street. The fear of God means hating evil, those who hate with a passion, pride and arrogance and crooked talk. I love those who love me. Those who look for me find me. Wealth and glory accompany me. My benefits are worth more than a big salary, even a very big salary. The returns on me exceed any imaginable bonus. You can find me on the road. That's where I walk, at the intersection of Justice Avenue. Handing out life to those who love me, filling their arms with life, armloads of life." And he goes on and on, talking about the earth and talking about how you can find wisdom in the environment. And so, dear friends, they say, listen carefully and embrace wisdom. And then you go to chapter 9. Lady Wisdom has built and furnished her home. It's supported by 7 hewn timbers. The banquet meal is ready to be served. Lamb roasted, wine poured out, table set with silver and flowers. Having dismissed her serving maids, Lady Wisdom goes to town, stands at a prominent place, and invites everyone within sound of her voice. "Are you confused about life? Don't know what's going on? Come with me. Oh, come, have dinner with me. I've prepared a wonderful spread, fresh baked bread, roast lamb, carefully selected wines. Leave your impoverished confusion and live. Walk the street to a life with meaning." But then there's another one out there. There's this other woman, Madam Whore. Brazen, empty-headed, frivolous. She sits on the front porch of her house on Main Street. And as people walk by minding their own business, she calls out, "Are you confused about life? Don't know what's going on? Steal off with me. I'll show you a good time. No one will ever know. I'll give you the time of your life," but they don't know about all the skeletons in her closet and that all her guests end up in hell. You know, we live in an information age, don't we? All around us, more and more information is being offered to us. A steady stream of input is bombarding us. You can get it from all kinds of sources. It's like water from a fire hose. Information overwhelms and numbs us. We get all kinds of information. But are we any wiser? Are we any closer to God because of all the information that we have? Are we humbler? Are we learning anything about the way life really works by all the information that we've got in this information age in which we live? As one observer noted, we live in a wisdom famine. We've got all kinds of information, but very little wisdom. After all, who wants to be wise anymore? People want to be right. People want to be rich. They want to be popular. They want to be in control. But wise? Last week, we were asked, where does wisdom come from? Where does one find it? And a clue, but only a clue, is given in chapter 10, which I hope you don't miss next week. But Proverbs 9 reminds us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the interesting word in that chapter is the beginning. It's just the beginning of wisdom. After 9 weeks of studying the Proverbs together and looking mainly at wisdom, we are just beginning to understand what wisdom is all about. And it's the fear, it's the awe, it's the reverence of God. And that's not the sum total of wisdom, it's just the beginning. We're just beginning to grasp hold of what wisdom is all about. Now, obviously, there is more that God would have us to know, but where is it? Where do we find it? What is it? Just when you hope to be told when you come to huddle of a 1-2-3 definition of wisdom, and you're going to come and you're going to figure out wisdom, or even better, a 12-step program on how to be wise, you can't find it. It's not here. And after reading the text last week from chapter 8, you have the same feeling that you have after shopping for a car. Now, I don't want to offend Rex or any of the other guys here, but think about it. When you go shopping for a car and you've decided on the preferred options and extras, you know just the kind of car that you want, and you go to the shopping, you go to the dealership, and you want to tell them what you want, all that's left is for you to find out how much the car will cost. That's all you really want to know, and whether you can afford it. And so you go to the auto dealer, you find the car that meets your specifications, and you ask the salesperson the crucial question, how much? And the rest of the conversation goes something like this. Salesperson walks up to you and says, she's a beaut, isn't she? Yeah, but how much? And the power of this thing, have you ever seen the power in this engine? It's just awesome. Are you aware of how big the engine is? Yeah, but how much? And did you notice how roomy it is? Yeah, I have, but how much? Well, how about a drive? Would you like the keys? Go for a drive in it? We'll give you the keys and you can take a ride in it. And so you can see, she handles like a dream. Well, thanks, but really, I just want to know how much. Well, then, I guess you want to know how much it costs, don't you? Yeah, how much? I don't know. Let's see, with your trade-in, I'll have to talk to the manager. And he's not here today. Would you come back tomorrow? Now, compare that scene with the scene in Proverbs last week and this week. You've come to huddle and you've said, okay, what is wisdom? And wisdom responds in chapter 8, I was created at the beginning of the world. That's nice. But what is wisdom? And wisdom responds, I was here before the waters covered the seas, covered the world. Okay, but what is wisdom? And wisdom responds in chapter 8, I was here before the mountains and the hills took shape. Good for you, but what is wisdom? And wisdom responds, I was present at the formation of the heavens and at the groundbreaking ceremony of the earth. And you respond finally, look, I'm happy for you, but all I really want to know is, what is wisdom? And wisdom responds at the end of chapter 8, when you find me, you will be very happy. Ah. We want an answer. Do you see what I'm talking about? You decide to take matters into your own hands. And it talks about it in chapter 8. And chapter 8 suggests, as you begin your search for wisdom, the first thing you notice is how many voices there are in this world telling you how to find wisdom. There's the environmental voices, the wheezing of trucks and buses and car horns encoding harsh messages to one another when you honk at people and you're saying things that you wouldn't say out loud by the honking of the horn. And the ear-shattering speech of jackhammers as they insist on their way against layers and layers of asphalt and concrete around this whole city, where wherever you drive, you have to do a detour because somebody's beating on the street somewhere. And added to all this is disembodied music, and you come to a stop sign, and you stop there, and there's a car beside you, and it's rumbling so loud your car is rattling. And it's coming from everywhere and nowhere. And I've listened to all of it, and I've never gotten any wisdom out of that rap music. It's just not there. And then there's the cacophony of human sounds all around you. Street vendors hawking their wares. Scores of conversations being carried on simultaneously. And instructions being given as the foreman yells at the worker. And as the store owner talks to the delivery person. And as the teacher speaks to the student. And one thing for certain, if you ever expect to hear a word of wisdom, you need to listen real carefully. For hers is not the only voice clamoring for your attention out there, guys. That's what Proverbs 8 is telling us. And just as challenging as the multitude of voices and the variety of crossroads that it talks about in Proverbs chapter 8, which one would you choose? If you were wisdom, where would you set up shop in order to be heard? And you decide to begin in the financial district of the city. And if there's one thing that people care about most, you know, it's their pocketbooks. So surely we must find some wisdom in money and investments and pocketbooks. Besides the terms wise, prudent, investment, they seem to hang out a lot together in the financial district. And from the sidewalk outside the brokerage firm, you watch as the message board repeats and reports continuously all that's going on the stock market. The movement of stock markets up, the movement way down. Share values move up sharply, hesitate, drop as sharply as when they rose, and then they move back up again. And you look through the office window at all those guys and portfolio managers, telephone receivers on both ears, trying to make sense of it, and the erratic fluctuations of the stock market. And you think, this isn't where I'm going to find wisdom. And next you move to the commercial district, the malls. After all, that's where the volume of traffic is. It's more likely the crossroad than the financial district. And you immediately notice the long line of folks lined up at the store called Sophia's. And they're calling to one another, "It's here, it's here, we finally got it, it's in, it's for you." And you think to yourself, Sophia means wisdom. So maybe since it means wisdom, they're saying it's here. So maybe I'm right. This is where I've been searching for. This is where I'm going to find wisdom. So you join the line as it moves into the store, and the closer you approach to the focus of the attention, the more excited the scene becomes, and you finally arrive to what everybody's striving to get to, and your heart falls. You aren't in line for wisdom at all. Only a shelf filled with Beanie Babies for your kid, and iPods for your teenager, and big screen televisions for you. Nevertheless, you stay for a while and you watch and you listen. So many stores, so much to buy. Everywhere from buyer to seller, and money is changing hands. And a voice reminds you that this is where the economic system is at its best. And then you hear a voice saying, could such frenetic spending in the world of need be the home of wisdom? Could the whirring of cash registers be the voice of wisdom? And you decide to look further. So you go to the university campus, where knowledge is celebrated and learning is prized, and you're certain wisdom can be found here. And as you walk through the hallways of the classroom buildings and you hear interesting things being said, and you hear talks about the events of history and the interrelatedness of the universe and all the deep and heavy thoughts that are being shared and passions of the heart and poetic language, but is wisdom the same as knowledge? Is knowledge found in wisdom, or is wisdom found in knowledge? And the more you begin to think about it, you begin to think, I'm spending too much time in this philosophy lecture. Let's move on. And you look for wisdom, it says, in the halls of justice, but there you don't find it. And you listen for her voice in the sports arena, and there you don't find it. And you search out every crossword imaginable, it says, but she's not to be found. And the day's about over, and you're tired. And you haven't yet found wisdom. And that's when Proverbs 8 turns to Proverbs 9. And you remember the words of Proverbs 9. What if wisdom, unlike knowledge, is not a state of being or a destination at which one finally arrives? Rather, what if wisdom, like faith, is merely bread for the journey, a companion for one's pilgrim walk with God? Maybe wisdom is not something we possess, but something that possesses us. Coming at the most crucial moments of our life, providing guidance and direction, a gift given by the grace of God. And if that's so, then perhaps you've been hearing the voice of wisdom all along in your search for wisdom and how to walk with God. Instead of finding wisdom for one brief moment, wisdom finds you. And Proverbs chapter 9 offers us two places to receive our bread for the journey. It pictures a wisdom feast. And wisdom is personified as a woman, a kind of hostess with the mostess. And she's prepared a lavish feast and set out a formal invitation. Come and eat of my bread and my drink. All you need is to RSVP. Just show up. Come on in. Sit down and feast on wisdom. It's a gift. But then later in chapter 9, we meet another woman, a foolish woman who lives down the road, and she wants our company too. And she doesn't live in a mansion, she lives in a dive. And the sustenance is often meager and deadly, and we need to be careful because she represents foolishness, and foolishness is dangerous. And Proverbs 9 suggests that someone might be tempted to bypass wisdom's feast and try to survive on the thin gruel of folly or information. Or just buying and selling things, or gaining more and more information, or not being certain how to use the knowledge that we have. Why would anyone want to do that? But so many of us do in our lives. Clearly, wisdom has more to offer. She's the better person, offering the better feast. But we have to choose. And then we come to Ephesians chapter 5, which is a call to wisdom too. And although it comes across less as an invitation, more like a kick in our rear end, it still is telling us what we need to learn today. And it says, be careful then how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise. Do not be foolish. And then the text even gives us some specific ideas of what wisdom looks like. And it says, make the most of your time that God has given you. Understand what the will of the Lord is, and don't get drunk, and be filled with the Spirit. Three times we're told how to walk in this passage. We're to walk wisely. We're told in Proverbs 9 to learn to walk with wisdom. And Ephesians 5 tells us how to do that walking. Walk wisely, making most of our time, spending it with God, filling our lives with the things that make us like Christ. My wife's favorite verse is Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And often when I'm watching something on television, and we all do it, we all turn, and there is so much junk on television today, and so much murder, and that when they show murders, and these CSI series are showing so many ugly scenes of killing and murder and rape, and terrible thoughts come into your minds, and issues, and evil experiences of life. And it's all over our television screens. And I'm sitting there watching some CSI program with Jaina, and invariably my wife will just look at me and quote her favorite verse. And she'll say, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, think on these things, honey. Thanks a lot, Jaina. If there be any virtue, the Bible says, or if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, in Jesus Christ, those things we are to do. And then the God of wisdom shall be with us. Why are we doing the things we do? Why do we think the thoughts we think? Why do we act the way we act sometimes? It's because of the stuff that we're shoving into our minds and into our brains. It's the world around us. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it says also to walk as children of the light. The Word of God is our light. It guides us in the way of wisdom. It is only as we meditate on the Word of God that we will receive the wisdom that we need to live for God. And to live and walk as God would have us to walk. So if we want to learn what wisdom is, we need to be wise circumspectly and fill our things with the things that God would have us fill them with. If we are to be wise, we need to be children of the light and concentrate and look and read God's Word and know His Word so that it can guide us in our walks of life. And then it says a third one. It says to walk in love. Jesus calls us to walk in love. In fact, Jesus prays that all of us may be one, just as you are in me and I in you. May they, that's us, you and me, may we be in Him so that the world may believe that God had sent Jesus Christ, that you had sent me. We are to walk in love in such a way so that the world will know that God sent His Son. We are to be one in Christ. Every one of us in this room is brothers in Christ. Every one of us, no matter what church we attend, no matter what denomination we are a part of, we are brothers in Jesus Christ. And I had somebody, another pastor, say to me this week, which I found really exciting. He said to me, "Steve, I'm excited about what's going to happen in the next couple years in Kokomo, Indiana." And I said, "Oh yeah, why is that?" He said, "Because something new is happening in this city, and it has nothing to do with denominations. It has nothing to do with what church you go to. It has something to do with all of us together, putting aside our titles and our labels and reaching out together and making a difference in Kokomo for Jesus Christ." And he said, "Part of that is because of what's happening at things like Huddle and things like Psalms and things like great banquets and Emmaus walks. It's because we are getting beyond our divisions and recognizing that Jesus is Lord of us all." I can't wait to see what God's going to do in Kokomo, Indiana. In fact, do you know what it says? Jesus said that if we are to walk in the wisdom of God, we will love one another. And then it goes on, and have you ever noticed it? It goes on and says, "If we do not love one another, the world has a right to question whether we are Christians." Did you know that the Bible said that? If we do not love one another, if we do not walk in the wisdom that God has given us, to walk circumspectly, to walk in the light, and to love one another, the world has a right to question whether you and I are a Christian. And more than that, the world, it says, has a right to question whether Jesus was sent from God and whether Christianity is true. Now that ought to sober us today as we think of what is wisdom and what is wisdom calling us to. It's calling us to walk circumspectly, wisely. It's calling us to walk in the light of God's Word. It's calling us to walk in love. And if we don't, the world has a right to question whether Jesus is really the Son of God. How well are we practicing this? How well are we allowing God's wisdom to fill us so that our relationships with each other and with our churches is one of walking in love and walking in light and walking wisely? The first 9 chapters of Proverbs describe how wisdom works in general. But the Proverbs in chapter 10 is concerned with the nuts and bolts of godly living. Don't miss next week's study as we start to see the nuts and bolts now. It's the meat and potatoes of it all, guys, of what wisdom is. Someone has pointed out a proverb is a short sentence based on a long experience. It's plain truth brought home with the gentleness of a sledgehammer. We had better start looking at the book of Proverbs, men. That's why it was chosen this year. And discover what wisdom is. It's advice that we don't think we need. And we didn't ask for. But fortunately, Proverbs knows this. And 14 times in the book of Proverbs, we're reminded that the fear, the awe, the love of the Lord is just the beginning of wisdom. Here we are in the 9th week of looking at wisdom in Proverbs. And we're just at the beginning. But if we begin with the clear understanding that wisdom is a gift from God, it's not something that we can attain or earn or gain by study. Not at all. It's a gift from the Lord for each moment and each day. And it shares with us how to walk wisely, circumspectly, in the light of His Word and with love, one towards another. And then the world will know that we are His children, and we will make a difference in Kokomo, Indiana. I can't wait for next week. God bless you.